This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Isaac, the cool one.
What? This is our podcast.
Yeah. Welcome to our podcast.
I don't know. It's brought to you by Les Schwab, though.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
Souk and Rob's passion.
This show sucks.
I'm gonna drink the whole show.
What an exciting time.
They fell in love.
All right, welcome to a Monday edition of Club 1080.
Woohoo!
It's Isaac and Souk. What's up?
I already woohooed. That tells you how excited I am.
I'm excited too.
I could tell by the tone of your woohoo just how excited you are.
Oh,
you
I'm know, fired up.
I gotta say something. I always get excited for the club. Every day.
I know. It kind of energizes us a little bit.
Like if we had to talk about Nick Foles some more.
I know.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you.
There's only so much Jeff Hostetler talk I can
make the show 3 hours if you gotta talk more about Nick Foles.
We got hot. We got city news. We got to rank the Daves. Have you seen this list?
I'm sorry.
Someone,
this what?
Someone ranked the Daves.
Oh, yeah? Who's the top Dave? Letterman?
Well, that's up for you to decide. We've got David Lee Roth.
No.
You've got Dave Chappelle.
No.
You've got Dave Grohl. You've got David Letterman.
Yeah.
Dave from Encino Man, a.k.a. Sean Est. Or, what's his name? Sean, Rudy. What's Rudy's name?
Aston?
Sean Aston.
Yeah, Sean Aston. He is Dave from Encino Man.
Not even close.
There's a lot of Daves on here.
Well,
someone took the time to rank the Daves.
That's a two-man list.
Dave and Buster's?
No chance.
David Alan Greer?
Nope. Is it only, like...
David Bowie?
Pretty good.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's a two-man list. It's David Grohl and Dave Grohl and Dave Letterman right now.
Well, David Bowie.
I kind of feel like you're...
Oh, come on.
You got Dave Crosby.
No.
Dave Franco.
Who?
Dave Navarro. Dave Franco. James Franco's little brother.
Why is he even on there?
He's a big actor now.
Dave Coulier. What about that?
No.
You're just going to dismiss Full House and the inspiration
for
Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill song?
Yeah, that's right.
Dave Duchovny.
Dave Niehaus.
Davy Crockett.
What about my buddy Dave?
How about Dave Hasselhoff? How about drunken Dave Hasselhoff? Dave Matthews?
Yeah, but he's no Dave Grohl.
There's a lot of Daves. This was on Vice. I actually saw this story on
Dave
Vice.
Dave Schwimmer?
Yeah, David Schwimmer on there.
Nah, see, it's a two-man race.
All I'm saying is there is a lot of Daves. If you're ranking... like kind of power names, a lot of famous Daves.
Yeah, again, I don't. I mean, there are a lot of famous Daves because it's a common name, but I think two guys stand out. Although number one, you know who's number one on IMDb's famous Daves?
What?
Chappelle.
Yeah, see?
Dave Chappelle on there, number one.
Do you put Chappelle above Letterman or Grohl?
No, already told you that. Don't forget David Spade.
Oh yeah, throw him in there.
He's great. No, Letterman is probably my number one. And Grohl's right there. Bowie's right there.
See, a lot of people. Chappelle's would, up a lot there. Of people may go David Bowie.
Yeah, may go, I can see I would. That.
May go most number one Dave, and then David Lee Roth. We're not Diamond Dave.
I don't know, dude.
Go watch Hot for Teacher sometime, and then come back and talk to me. Can I have a brief moment where I had like 8 years of Diamond Dave? Not David Lee Roth now, but David Lee Roth in his prime. Because I'm going to make a bold statement right now. The greatest music video of all time is Hot for Teacher. Van Halen had
that is a bold statement.
He had an unbelievable.
Now, wait a minute. Does Larry David count?
Wow.
I guess. I mean,
if
there
you're
is.
Saying Dave from Encino Man, who's not even real, his name isn't even Dave, then maybe Larry David can count.
He'd be up there. Anyway, what were you saying?
This guy says the club is the best. We're just sitting around naming Daves. Yes. Super Dave Osborne as well.
He's hilarious in the. Super Dave's great on.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. He's really good on
that. He's Marty Funkhauser.
So listen, unless we're missing a famous, like, very big Dave that maybe wasn't, you know, like, was maybe more contributor to society type Dave as opposed to famous
you wanna
because
go,
they can act.
You
want to
go biblical and go, like, King Dave?
He's right out.
King David?
He didn't do anything. Then I think we've got, I've got my list. I think that's an easy one.
Well, your number, give me your top three.
I just did.
Well, you said there was a two.
Letterman one, Grohl, Bowie.
Bowie 1, 2, 3. I kind of want to go Dave from Encino Man. It's a hell of a performance.
You would lose all credibility with me if you did that.
So if it's my personal ranking of the Daves, it would go Dave Grohl, Diamond Dave, and then David Letterman. But I understand that that's a personal that's a personal list.
My personal would probably remove David Letterman and add Dave Chappelle. And I'd go David Bowie first, Dave Grohl, and then Dave Chappelle.
You know who's fourth on my Daves?
Dave Coulier.
Coulier? That's a great name, but no. David Gilmour, the of Pink Floyd.
Oh, see, there you go.
Badass Dave.
See, ton of Daves. Like, you can't...
Nobody beats Letterman.
I like how you're saying ton of Daves as if it's amazing that there's so many Daves in the world.
Yeah, because it's a common name.
I don't think there's that many Jasons.
There's lots of Jasons.
Famous Jason. Of all the famous Daves that we just named, are we going to try to go down famous Jasons? Because I think if in the battle of Dave versus Jason, Dave's kicking my ass.
Not even close, because Dave's a more common name.
But there's a lot of...
Jason's a pretty common name.
But not like Dave.
I'm going to look up most common names. I'll bet you Jason's not far behind Dave.
God.
Why are you making it like Dave is so special, though?
Yeah. Like, you're trying to pull it off like...
He's saying that to you.
I'm saying that to you. You're the one who's making it seem like the name Dave is extra special over other common names.
Well, it's pretty famous. There's a lot of Daves. And I don't think there's that many other common names. What are some of the other common names?
Steve?
Mine. Mike.
Mike's probably the most common, don't you think?
Yeah.
Isn't Muhammad like the one of the...
Muhammad is the number the most one common name in the name? World. Yeah, that's the most common name.
You got Mike. You got Jim.
Bob.
Everybody named Dick.
Cooter.
Famous Jasons. You could go Jason Statham. You could go Jason Aldean.
Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis. But it's not a great list.
No, it really isn't.
Jason the Murderer.
Yeah, you got the whole Friday. Jason Voorhees.
Oh, yeah. Jason Voorhees. Yeah, I forgot about that.
See, we don't have that many good
fictional
ones,
character. Okay.
You got Jason Bateman.
Oh, I love Jason Bateman. Big fan. Jason Bateman, to me, criminally underrated.
Jason Bateman?
Yes. I think he is criminally underrated.
Yeah, he was gone for a long time.
So good.
Like, no one would hire him, and then Arrested Development came along and kind of saved his career.
He's funny. Sneaky funny, too, Bateman.
He is. He's one of those guys that can steal a movie. And he's working a lot, but he doesn't really headline a lot of stuff. He's
exactly.
He just kind of
is Jason Bateman.
He's kind of in the back, and he plays the same character almost every time.
Yeah, he's got the same type. But
he's the sensible one in, like, in a movie full of chaos, he's kind of the...
Yeah, he plays it well.
Yeah, he anchors the piece.
Wouldn't
he's
you
always
be
giving
him?
Those dry looks to the camera. Can you believe this is going on?
That you know, that there, well, folks, What?
Words talk good, we do.
I'm doing great. I know it. What I'm trying to say is, of all the famous people, there can be two famous, in my opinion, that I think it would suck. Mm-hmm. Bateman, he's really famous, but I'd want his life.
Not enough to be annoying.
I could step into his shoes just fine.
Yeah, because there is an element of that. Look, everyone's going to trade places with George Clooney. Don't get us wrong. Right. But there probably is an element to being that famous that is a tad bit annoying. Whereas Bateman probably does leave...
Yeah, you know.
He gets to go live a fairly normal existence.
I mean, he'll...
I'm sure he gets stopped and it's like, hey.
Hey, you know, you're that guy.
But you don't have like 18 paparazzo trying to film every single thing that you're doing.
Right.
It's a good level of fame.
Yeah, he's really good in Ozark too, that show.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. All right. Sitting is the new smoking. Some controversy here in the office.
Oh, yeah. Someone's a little sensitive about this.
6:15 on the Fan.
Dick and Souk.
Sitting on a cloud of judgment, handing down life lessons to all the sinners.
On 1080, The Fan.
Double Sun Power!
You know, at some point, we're going to have to carve out some time to talk about Blue Planet 2.
I thought you were talking about David Attenborough or David Cameron or Davy Jones.
No, no, and no.
All the famous Daves.
David Cameron, the baseball guy? You don't even know who... Now you're just naming Dave. You don't even know who they are.
No, that's not...
Dave Cameron, the guy who just took a job with the Padres.
No, Dave Cameron's an actor. He's a British guy.
Not my Dave Cameron. we'll need to...
Mike Cameron?
We need to talk about Blue Planet 2. Do you have that on DVR yet?
I do not have this on DVR
yet. Dude, you guys got a DVR.
Oh, God, it started?
Yeah, it already started.
When did it start?
Well, I watched it on DVR, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it was late last week.
Okay.
But it's just DVR the series.
Yeah, I have not. I didn't know the second one had started.
Yeah, it started. It's on BBC America, and it is astoundingly good.
Really?
Did you see the first one?
Yeah, I saw the first one. We talked about the first one for...
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Planet Earth series.
Yeah.
It's just... Well, you guys... I'll tell you what. You guys DVR it. And we'll reconvene on that.
I will tell you this. Mother Nature is one of the best programs you could watch, period. Like, there's so much stuff going on out there. Sign me up. And they did a phenomenal job with that.
The first Blue Planet was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
The first time I saw those glow-in-the-dark fish blew my mind. The ones that light up.
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter, and I don't know if this is where that came from or not, but she showed me this, I don't remember what it was called. There's a fish that... Try the best way to describe this.
Does it swim?
I'm
Does
amazed at how many animals that I don't know exist.
Does that have fins?
Like, it's...
Are you, some animal expert or something?
No, but you would think at this point in your life that you'd be aware of most of the things that are out there, right? But you see, like, all the time you see this article, it's like, hey, we just discovered this, but she showed me this photo, and it's like... It looks like a fish from, like, Finding Nemo. It just looks like a little kind of tropical fish, but... It's like four times the size of a person. It's just this enormous thing, but they classify it like as plankton because it's so dumb and primitive. And yet there's like these photos of this diver next to it, and it could swallow an entire person. That's how big it is. So picture little fish from like Finding Nemo, and then four times the size of a person and dumber than a sack of hammers. And this thing's just cruising around out there in the ocean. I had no idea it existed.
Well, I don't really think of fish as smart.
Well, no, not really, but still. Like, I guess it's so primitive, they consider it basically like plankton.
It's not really on my list of qualities fish.
Well, I'm sure out there's some fish that are smart.
Okay, I'll give you a little teaser on Blue Planet 2. They talk about the first episode of Blue Planet 2. They talk about the, I think it's called the giant trevally fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out, I think it's in the Indian Ocean. And it can calculate the trajectory and the speed of birds. And it picks them off in the air.
See? Clearly that is not a dumb fish.
Not at all.
Whereas this thing, this big lumbering herking thing, is.
So on this, so they show these birds and they all gather on the beach, you know, and they have their little kid birds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all, and they show, and just the footage is incredible. But they show these birds trying to flap their wings and these little baby birds trying to get up in the air, and it's cute. And, you know, sometimes they get up, sometimes it takes them a little longer, and then they always have to rest. The babies have to rest. So if they're out there circling the water, they will oftentimes, the younger birds will just stop and...
take a little respite.
Take a respite. Well, that's where the giant trevally will just just come up out of nowhere and swallow them.
Mother Nature is a fascinating thing.
But what the giant trevally can also do is if the bird is flying, you know, it's got to be relatively close to the surface.
Yeah.
But those suckers can swim along and, again, calculate its speed and trajectory and jump out of the water and snag the bird out of thin air.
See, that's badass. So is the whole series available right now?
No.
Just they're doing little pieces?
Well, yeah, it's just, it comes on, like I said, I don't know what night, but it's once a week.
All right.
So the first episode is out.
Sign me up.
Okay, so sitting is the new smoking. You know, this is what they say. This is what the kids say. You can't, you know, nobody smokes anymore, right? Except for the people who are truly addicted.
Well, or go over to Russia. I think everyone in Russia and China smokes.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people outside. Well, but.
And cool people and hot chicks. Like
every
musicians.
Time I see somebody that smokes, I'm like, wow, you must really be addicted.
Yeah, it is a little weird now.
It's like, come on, man.
Because it's not something you see on a day-to-day basis, it doesn't seem like.
So, you know, sitting is the new smoking. Like, you have higher risk of cancer and type 2 diabetes. And
they do tell you that you should get up and move around a little bit.
Heart disease and all that. So that's the new thing.
So we've stumbled upon this, that there are some people in our office now that they've gone to the standing desks. You don't want to sit at your desk anymore.
So it used to be they would switch to the bouncy ball thing?
Yeah. I guess that's like, right? For posture or whatever, like you'd sit on the big blue ball.
And it keeps your muscles kind of engaged.
I guess. Which
you have to balance. So.
I find that adorable that someone thinks that the reason why they're not in shape or the reason they're not healthy is because they're not sitting on the big blue ball. As if somehow that sort of transition is going to change everything. But hey, to each their own. But I have noticed that several people in our office have gone to the standing desks now.
Or the moving ones. They go up and down, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, so the you can, with just a click of a button, you can raise the desk, you can lower it. And they're not cheap. I was talking to Carla today. She said they're about $375.
Whoa.
So she buys herself the standing desk. So when she feels like sitting, she can sit and use a normal little workstation there. But a lot of the times you can walk by and
you mean she can sit and slowly kill herself?
Yes, or she can stand and be the healthiest person on the planet. But I happened to be wandering by today, and I noticed something. She was standing at the desk, as she's known to do from time to time, mm-hmm. and her chair was kind of shoved out of the cubicle. Like, she'll move the chair out of the way. But she wasn't just standing this time. There's a stool now in her desk, in her little cubicle area. And I kind of walked by and I said, well, what's that? And she goes, well, that's kind of the new chair. And I said, the new chair for what? And she said, well, it's a new chair for the standing desk. And this led me down a road of confusion for about 15 to 20 minutes.
So there's a
sitting device for a standing device.
What?
It's a standing desk that they now, and she claims it wasn't hers. She claimed someone else in the office that had a standing desk bought it. And
she got very defensive, but she claimed it was someone else.
Yeah, she claimed it was. But the point is, it's a chair, but it's a chair to be used when you're at the standing desk, which I asked the question, doesn't that violate the whole premise of having a standing desk? To which point she replied to me, well, you don't stand all the time. To which I replied, exactly, which is why you have a desk that can go back to a normal sitting position, and then you can just use your normal chair. I can't understand why, now on top of the $375 to buy the standing desk, you're now spending $300 to buy the stool that comes along with the standing desk. And
so
then
it's
here's,
like a lean, right?
Yeah,
so you're leaning.
Kind of.
You're putting your butt there, but you're not really sitting.
It's also not particularly stable.
No,
when you put your butt on it, it kind of just starts moving all over the place.
And when I mentioned that, she fat shamed me because I sat on the stool and
said,
"She
should."
And I said, "Well, this isn't very sturdy." And she goes, "Well, not everyone's as big as you." And I said, "Holy cow!" And then Mike came along and she said the same thing to Mike. She fat shamed the both of us.
And I called her out on it.
Yeah, you did. And she got. Did you notice how defensive she got about the stool, though? Like, she was very...
That's because she knows.
She was very uncomfortable.
She knows.
So this is to the point we're going to be so pretentious now where we have to have the standing desk, but then once you become pretentious and get the standing desk, you really don't want to stand, so then you have to go and buy another apparatus so that you can lean on it while you stand?
Now, I'm not going to call the standing desk pretentious. because if I were in a cubicle all day, I wouldn't want to sit either. I totally get that. But yeah, the chair, well, it's not a chair. She got mad at me for calling it a chair. It's a stool.
It's a lean-to?
And I said, well, why don't you just use the chair to lean on, right? Because the chair raises up.
Yes.
So what's the difference between the stool and the chair? Well, she's like, well, it doesn't have a back on it. I'm like, well, so what? You're not using the back anyway.
Is it the wobble? Is it the fact that it wobbles, that it's similar to one of the big blue balls that you have to sit on?
I don't know.
Keep your muscles engaged.
But it's
keep balanced.
I just find the whole thing puzzling that there's a standing desk and now you have to buy a separate chair to go with the standing desk, which seems to prevent you from actually standing. And then I caught photographic evidence of it. So she got all defensive about it. And then when I came by a little bit later, look what I found.
She's sitting.
She's sitting at the
stand. Yeah, no, she's not. That's not a semi-stand or a lean.
She's sitting.
She's sitting on the stool.
So she is at her standing desk. I'm going to tweet this out, by the way, because she got all mad. If you notice the next photo, when she realized that I was taking a photo of it, she got all pissed and tried to prevent it.
Oh, Carla.
Yeah. But if you look at this, and I will tweet this out, because she, like you said, she is not semi-sitting. She is not leaning. She is flat out sitting at her standing desk on this new stool that was purchased.
Well, look.
As opposed to just lowering the desk. And by the way, I saw her raise and lower the desk. It takes half a second.
Lower the desk to the chair side.
You click one button and the desk goes down and you can sit in your normal chair as opposed to having the standing desk chair.
You know I'm on a unicycle, right? Did you know that about me?
You just continue with pedaling?
Yeah.
Well, you power the station. That's the other thing people don't know. Rob powers the station. We're eco-friendly here. He generates the power that we use to broadcast.
But what if you... Okay, so to her, in her defense, and yes, I'm not saying this about her, but let's say you're a stand-up desk person and you go out and you have a big, giant burrito for lunch. You're not going to be standing the rest of the day.
No.
You got to, you know...
But you have a desk that lowers itself and a chair already.
Well, you're preaching to the choir on that.
So I find it fascinating that someone went out and spent $375 on a desk that raises and lowers and then spent another $200 or $300 on a stool that's designed to sit on while you're at the standing desk.
Isn't this guy brings up a good point about the Fitbit as well, where you see people who, you know, they're not really that fit.
You're at line and at the Wendy's and buying yourself a super value meal.
Well, but you walked there, and that's what matters.
Well, they got the Fitbit on, you know, and he's like, you know, he says, I work with several fatties, and they wear Fitbits, and those still fat as hell, they sure can tally those steps. It's true. You see that a lot.
Yeah, you do.
I don't see, like, notice this. How many people who are super fit wear Fitbits? I want you to start paying attention to that.
As opposed to people that...
That aren't as... Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Maybe they're using it as a way to start losing weight.
It's like a motivational sort of thing.
Right.
It gives you a goal for the day to start working out.
I just feel like the standing desk, that's something I would do. And then... Or I guess I should say the chair. Like, if they implemented standing desks here at the office... I would instantly go out and buy a tall chair. Because Carla brought up to me, she goes, well, don't you stand when you broadcast? I said, no. And she goes, well, it might be good for you. And I'm like, no.
She thought we stood when we...
How is that possible?
She thought that throughout the day that we would stand up and do some broadcasting.
Some broadcast.
Yes.
Oh.
No, we sit the entire time.
No, I'm not going to stand while doing this.
You'd have to lean in here, too. You couldn't just stand and talk.
And if
maybe the show would be better. We should stand up.
No. I'll tell you right now that if they made me stand, I would go buy one of these stools. I wouldn't buy the $300 fancy stool. Just a regular stool will do.
Does your voice get better when you stand?
Yeah, it's better for your... Yeah, like if you're doing ads and stuff.
Yeah.
Like you're like big booming voice guy.
You got to stand up.
It's a diaphragm thing. You want to...
So when I belly up to the bar, should I like alternate between sitting like at the bar and then like going to stand at a pub table?
I kind of like to stand at the bar sometimes.
Do you?
Don't you?
It's too...
You could use the bar stool to do the lean.
I feel like it's too low.
Well, you gotta do the elbow lean on the bar.
I like to, like, if I'm at a pub table that's high, then I like to do the lean. The bars are too low. I don't like
you're taller.
It's a bad angle for me to get a lean in.
I can see that. See, they're the right size for me.
Yeah. I don't like that. But a good pub table, I'm with you. I'll stand and do some drinking.
Now, you've talked about the standing desk. What about the treadmill desk?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. If you're going to go standing desk, why don't you just go treadmill desk?
What does that mean?
You haven't seen that?
There's a running treadmill.
Yeah, so it's underneath
the standing desk, so you walk the whole workday.
Yeah, you get like a... Oh. It's like, these are for like, you know, the fancy like CEO types. Yeah, you can sit it. It's a whole desk, and then just underneath it, there's a treadmill, so you can walk all day while you collate or do whatever the hell you're doing in your office world. I just thought it was interesting that there was a chair for a standing desk, and that someone had the wherewithal to make a chair. Because, by the way, I want this to be known. This was specifically designed by the same company that made the standing desk.
This guy, one of our P1s, says, I don't go through the drive-thru at Wendy's anymore. Now I go with my Fitbit and I jog in place while I'm in line ordering and waiting for my burgers. I've lost so many weight.
Burns all those excess calories.
Okay, we got to go.
Diet soda.
Yeah, we got to go. Up next, not sure. I think we got a blue blood moon coming.
Oh, yeah,
we heard about that?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll talk about that next. Here's Mike.
And double sun power!
So if you'd like to see Carla, our dear friend here, Carla, sitting at her standing desk, you can go to Sook's Twitter. He tweeted that out.
I'm baffled by this. And yet at the same time, someone points out this is a genius move by the standing desk company, and that they sell you this load of crap on the standing desk, and they realize that you're going to hate it. So they sell you an extra product, the stool, to go along with the standing desk.
Just in case.
But it still makes no sense that why you wouldn't just lower the desk with the one click and then sit at your normal chair.
Well, like this guy says too, they've done studies on all this. And look, you don't want to you don't want to sit all day. You also don't want to stand all day.
No.
It's like, look, I don't even need to be a researcher or a scientist. Here's what I can tell you is probably best.
I know for a fact you're neither one of those.
I am neither. But I can tell you that I'm probably right when I say, if you sit, don't sit for too long. If you can, get up, move around, get your blood flowing, maybe walk at lunch.
Do some jumping jacks, a burpee in there.
Right. Stand some. Don't stand too long, and you'll be fine. There's my research.
Done and done. I'm interested in your newsletter.
What? Thank you.
I just know that Carla's really going to be pissed because I did tweet out the photo of her sitting at her standing desk. You can go to Twitter, big_Sook. I'm going to tweet it at her kid, too.
The office war has begun.
Pretty much. Well, she got real sensitive about it, and so then I started calling everyone over within an earshot.
When Sook smells sensitive blood,
yeah,
it's not real blood, but when he smells that someone is sensitive about something, boy, there's nobody better. If you want to pick that scab, there is nobody better than Jason Sicanic.
I started gathering people around to come...
you brought me in.
Yeah, and with each person, she got more and more upset.
You brought me in. And you brought sales lady Kelly in. That's all that I saw.
Look, I'm just trying to spread the word. That way other people may want to buy a standing desk and then a standing desk stool as well. I should get a piece. Like, they should pay me to advertise. I'm spreading the word about this fine company.
Okay, we don't have time for anything else here.
We don't?
No.
It's already past break time.
Yeah, we
got
to go.
Because I got a couple good stories. I've got a meteor that turned out to be crap news.
Was that flash that everybody was saying that was...
Well, it was in India, and they thought that they found a rare meteor. They did not.
Oh.
It's called Blue Ice. I've also got a great Tinder story and serial killer news.
Okay, well, we just have to save it. I'll write it down. We'll get it into tomorrow's club. Coming up next, John.
Life in the Mongolian Grill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's my old man's birthday today.
Big night out, huh?
Big night out at the Mongolian Grill.
6:44 on the Fan.
You didn't give no lip to Big John. Big John. Big John. Big Bad John.
You all right over there?
Yeah. Live from Mongolian Grill, here's John. What's the problem?
There's no problem. My food is sizzling on the grill right now, and I'm outside on the patio trying to figure out. I'm trying to signal to my son that that's my food, and he needs to stay and guard it till it's done. But I don't think he understands my nonverbal signals here through the window. So there's something could go wrong with my food right now.
Wait, so the Mongolian Grill is the one where you go there and you cook your own food?
No.
Yes, they have various meats and noodles, spices and things, and it's all raw, and you concoct your sauce and you put it all together, and then they cook it on the big flat grill.
Yeah, but you don't cook it. You're not back there working like a spatula.
No, but I got my food right to the guy, and he took it, and then Mike called. So I had to step out so there was some sort of privacy. So I'm on the outdoor patio right now, but I can see in the window my food cooking, and I've left, and the guy cooking doesn't know where I am, and he doesn't know what I'm doing. So when my food's done, I don't know what he's going to do with it. He's going to sit there.
I guarantee then, this is bothering John right now as well. Like, he's playing it off, but he's bothered by this.
Well, look, I had a good sauce going, and I don't want anything to happen to it. So my son is in line waiting for his food, and I'm trying to signal to him through the window to keep an eye on my food. And, of course, he's a meatball, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about. He's just going to leave. So I'm a little worried as to what's going on with my food right now.
Look, I think you need to trust the Mongolian Grill bro. I mean, it's probably not the first time somebody has left and he can't find them. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows whose food that is, and he knows you'll be back. He'll take care of you.
It looks like it's almost done right now. And so maybe, like, if I stand here, maybe he'll see me that I'm outside.
You're armchair grilling. He's fine. He's got you.
What you need to do is, when you're making this move, you should have tipped, like, early. Like, you flip him, like, a fin or something in there, and then it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be out on the back porch. You should have done a preemptive tip there.
Keep it warm for me?
Yeah.
Light him a fusky.
So, okay, I'm not a big Mongolian Grill guy.
Yeah.
Is that a restaurant, or is that a type of restaurant?
It's a type of restaurant.
Okay, so where are you exactly? Like, which one?
Oddly enough, this place is also called the Mongolian Grill.
See, that's what I thought. I think there's one over by me that's called Mongolian Grill.
But it's usually, like, the one I think he's at is the Yummy Mongolian Grill.
Oh.
So it's like, it'd be like calling it like the...
What's the best Mongolian Grill in town?
This one that I'm at right now.
I prefer the Golden Tent.
No, that's straight JV, Big Sook.
And it's
varsity.
And it's
this
right by the porno Mongolian theater, grill. Too. So you can go get yourself some Mongolian Grill and then go to a peep show.
Wait, there's a porno theater?
Yeah, right by the Mongolian Grill in downtown Vancouver.
Whoa. Number one, according to Yelp, the number one Mongolian Grill place in Portland is called Portland Mongolian Grill.
See, they're all Mongolian Grill, but
there's hot pot.
But there will be something in front of it.
It's on Yamhill, Southwest Portland.
I feel like they have to put Mongolian Grill in the title so that you know it's a Mongolian Grill. Otherwise, you wander in here woefully unprepared.
Yeah, it does. Well, okay, I'll read these to you. Number two is Taste of Mongolia, so you can deduce that it is a Mongolian grill. Number three is Yummy Mongolian Barbecue.
And I think that's where John's at. I think that's a chain. I think John's at the Yummy
that's
Mongolian.
That's on MLK?
Yeah.
No, I'm over here on Mill Plain in Vancouver.
This one's...
I can report. Look, I have an update. My food is done, and the guy has taken it off the grill, and it's now sitting on the bar where normally I would be waiting to get it. And people are looking at it as they get their food, and it's just sitting there. So it's in a holding pattern right now.
Well, you can go.
It needs to cool down anyways. You can't bite right into a hot plate of Mongolian barbecue.
No, okay. We have another update. So now the guy saw me looking in the window, and he thought I was locked out. So he sent a lady over to let me in. And so a lady just opened the door to let me in, and I had to give her the no, I'm fine out here.
You're causing a lot of problems right now.
Yeah, but he is aware that I'm out here, and apparently I might be locked out here, and my food is ready.
Number four, Little Sheep Mongolian Hot Pot.
So it's not always the Mongolian Grill. It sounds like Hot Pot.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Is kind of one, too.
Number five, Chang's Mongolian Grill. Number six, Chang's Mongolian Grill. Number seven, Chang's Mongolian Grill. Number eight, Chang's Mongolian Grill. And number nine, Gobi Mongolian Grill, which appears to be that's where you're at. That's on Mill Plain.
No, that's actually another one. That's actually closer to where I live, but I'm loyal to this one, so I come here.
Okay, and then number 10 is Chang's Mongolian Grill 2.
So but there's a lot of Chang's.
I should try Chang's Mongolian Grill from what you're saying.
Well, no, I think you should go to Portland Mongolian Grill and Hot Pot. That's number one.
It's number one.
Downtown Portland.
But John will not cross over the river to eat. It will not happen. There's getting John to cross over into Portland. It would take an act of God or like maybe a concert or something to get. There's no way John would leave the confines of Vancouver to come to Portland and eat.
It would take an act of convenience. I would have to already be in Portland and then like be in Portland with you guys. Then you're like, hey, let's go eat. Then I'm fine. But if we're over here in Vancouver and you say, hey, let's go over to Portland to eat, I'd say no. There's plenty of places to eat right here in Vancouver.
Somebody suggested they call the Mongolian Grill place and tell the guy to throw the food out. He left.
Come on. Why would they do that? I had a really good sauce going. I'm excited to eat this here in a minute.
That would be the best thing ever if John goes inside and someone has taken his food. It would make me so happy.
Now, there is the lady that came to let me in. She's in some sort of conversation with the cook. I think they're worried that I'm locked out here.
Even though they just checked on you and you said you were fine?
They're motioning to me, and I don't think maybe the cook doesn't understand, but the cook is definitely worried that I'm out here.
Yeah, he doesn't understand you're a big radio star.
I think he's trying to get people to check on me, and the one lady's telling him he didn't want to come in yet. So there's definite language barrier, plus I'm outside.
Go eat your food.
Communication is difficult right now. Right, at the
stop talking.
Grill.
Get out of here. Go eat your food. What the hell? What is happening?
Did we lose him?
That was the weirdest John segment ever.
John dead? By the way, the best part about the Mongolian Grill is it's the Mongolian Grill, but only Hispanics work there. It's all it is.
Really?
Yeah. It's the Mongolian Grill, but it's
where do the Mongolians work at the Chinese place?
I don't know. But it's all Hispanics.
All right, we're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red chips of Spain.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.